Well, it's been a fine theme month, but it's time for
No, it
some.
hasn't!
Okay, fine. Aside from Black Scorpion, avoid, do not watch. It's actually been a pretty fun theme month.
No!
Paint It Black Month, that is. And it goes to show us that, people who are naming shows, there are colors other than black.
You can't say that. We struggled to find this one. As it was, we had to use a bootleg site that we won't be referencing.
Yeah, this week we decided to do Black Lagoon, which actually was requested by two people.
For some reason.
Let me see here. One was, I'm looking up her YouTube name just to make sure I'm getting it right. She's someone who watches us on YouTube and has been nice enough to comment quite often.
She does not matter. Do
Well,
you hear me, lady?
her name is Runixon.
Hate you!
And also, Paranormal Rob, who was with us for the Apocalypse Zero review, had it on the list of, like, he gave me this list of, like, 30 anime we should check out at some point, lumped into good, bad, and obscure, and, or some such, and this was on his good list.
We will stand to see if it was wrong. It probably was. I'm yelling!
So, for those of you who are here for the first time, here at the 5-Point Podcast, we look at the first three episodes of an anime to get sort of a first impression of it. And
I.
we.
No, 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 no. I see where this is going. I refute you. We do not talk about stories. We do not talk about characters. We especially do not talk about the presentation, and we never give final thoughts. Thank you, sir.
As always, assume that whatever Burke says is exactly wrong.
You're a man!
Damn it. All right, so, Black Lagoon, first thoughts. I have no rebuttal to that. I just have to plow onward.
First impressions.
Burke, did you have any this week? I know you usually don't, but
I know of a Black Lagoon. It has a creature in it. I didn't see any creatures.
or Clint Eastwood's.
He wasn't in the first one, he was in the Revenge.
It's still part of the trilogy.
No. Wait a minute. Why was this called Black Lagoon?
Because that was the name of their pirate company, I think.
Why were they called Black Lagoon?
Because they couldn't think of a way to Englishify Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes, they could. Pet Shop of Horrors.
Okay, that's already been done.
No! No!
My
No!
first impressions. Okay, fine. Then I don't know why they called it Black Lagoon. They sounded, because the word black sounds sexy and cool.
And Lagoon sounds like a salary man, I guess. Moist and lumpy. We'll get to that later, folks.
My first impressions were pretty much formed by the fact that I remember, I think that was actually the first show that Professor Otaku ever reviewed. And it was actually a review that I didn't like to rewatch often. But it was not because it was a bad review or a bad show or anything. It's because I like the reviews where he rips things apart more than the ones where he has praise for things. They seem to recall him saying good things about Black Lagoon. And of
You
course, the
keep.
fact that this is the first thing we've had that had two different people request it.
You keep mentioning that people think that this is good. You're gonna give away something. Maybe.
I'm just saying, I went into this ready to be really pleased. Oh yeah, and Yorocha, after our podcast last week, which you should go watch if you didn't watch it already.
What? What happened last week?
Blackjack. He
No.
said, "Oh, that one's good," or something to that effect.
I have no memory of this!
That's because that was after you logged off.
Story!
Yes. So, the story of Black
Okay, first
Lagoon.
off, there is a female character in this. She's actually the regressed twin that lived within someone else, but then she was taken out and had her organs cloned so that she could be a real girl and stitched together.
Burke is not, in fact, referring to Black Lagoon. He's referring to a character in Blackjack that we were trying to figure out the mystery of her because she appeared to be a small little girl who was surprisingly mature, but also completely immature at the same time in strange and non-contradictory ways. And, my theory was, oh, she's a midget bride, or she's his sister, or She's an orphan he adopted, he being Black Jack from last week. And it turned out, it was what Burke said. He's basically a stillborn or a parasitic fetus that was partially absorbed by a woman's body, and Black Jack then used super science to make her a real girl.
Somehow!
Yeah.
He may or may not be immortal.
Anime is weird.
It fits perfectly with our idea of him, doesn't it?
Yes. Alright, but let's actually talk about Black
Jack. Meanwhile, there are pirates, ships, and salarymen.
Yes.
The pirates attack the ships which have the salarymen. Salarymen have nuclear bombs. The salarymen then become the pirates. And then the third episode drags on and on.
Right. So that's
that is the story.
That's it, more or less. The thing about this show is that the genre for this show is very much dumb action movie. I don't mean that as an insult.
Mid-90s, late-90s, just fun action film with lots of explosions and guns.
Right. If the lead role didn't call for someone being scrawny and ineffectual in Japanese, this is like a sort of the same genre as an Arnold film or a Stallone film.
No, you're wrong, good sir.
Well, I'm just sort of mean like the tone.
No! How many Arnold films have you seen?
A few. I mean, I saw Commando. This kind of reminded me of Commando.
You saw Commando because I made you see Commando.
Yeah. I've seen... Let's see here. I guess I haven't... I guess I do need to actually sit down and watch the first Blood films. Okay, Rambo. I've seen all of Rocky, though, but that doesn't count. But, okay, but you get... My ignorance aside, I've seen
your ignorance
of,
can never be aside.
I've seen a number of action films over the years, and this just reminds me of a well-done, dumb action film.
Kind of, yeah. They try to play the characters a little deeper, but...
to mixed results. So, basic storyline is you have a guy who... He has a Japanese name, but we'll call him the nickname he earns later, Rock.
Boner.
I'm going to stick with Rock, thank you.
Rock and boner means the same thing.
I suppose by analogy, yes. Anyway, Rock is a typical salaryman. He's just bossed around at work and abused, and he just puts up with it because he figures that if he does a good enough job, someday he'll be the one abusing his underlings.
Truly the aspiration of any good salaryman.
Yes. He's given the job by his company to personally take a disc. I'm not sure who he's actually taking the disc to. I think it's like,
never really say.
Yeah.
It's some overseas thing.
That's the thing about this show is that they often don't give you any specifics beyond who's involved and maybe a little bit of why. But they.
Oh, and what kind of guns are being used.
And what kind of guns are being used. But you don't necessarily know the importance of things or a lot of details about things. Which I suppose is realistic because you basically know as much as Rock does at any given time.
Yeah. Also, Rock really loves to pop unfortunate boners at points. They confuse him. The source of his confusion is the female pirate. Who's not actually a pirate, they're more like mercenary things.
Right. I think they're called the Black Lagoons. Or the Lagoon Company or something. We'll call them the Black Lagoons, even if this is a case of...
Shazam, Captain Marvel,
yeah.
Shazam.
Exactly. We'll just stick with calling them the Black Lagoons when we refer to them as a group. But for purposes of the story, all we need to know is that he's immediately shanghaied by a bunch of pirates who operate in the area around Indonesia and the Philippines, the South Pacific just north of Australia.
Wow, that carries some unfortunate implications nowadays.
Yeah, it's not exactly pleasant if you go outside the beaten path.
Wow! Anyways, there's lots of gunfire, and Kenpachi is blonde for some reason.
That's because he was from Florida. You mean the other guy, sorry.
Yeah, other guy. No, Kenpachi, the actual Kenpachi, not Benny.
Gotcha. Okay, so basically what happens is Salaryman gets kidnapped along with the disc. Why'd they kidnap him? Because they're only getting paid $20,000 for the disc, so they figured they'd ransom him back to the company and get a little bonus for it. Rock, of course, is worried right away that, nuts, this is going to be on my record.
Meanwhile, he's getting boners because the pirate girl keeps abusing him. He is very confused.
While wearing short shorts. But, yeah. Between all the double crosses and deaths...
And all the dies.
Dies. He's told, yeah, see, the stuff on that disc was evidence that we were helping an unstable third world nation get nuclear weapons. Probably North Korea, now that I think about it.
More unfortunate implications.
Yeah, this is kind of like... That's another thing about this particular genre of live-action movie. They like to surround themselves in controversy. Like, it's set in controversy, so you think it's... They're trying to be deep and edgy, but they're still a dumb action movie. They've just shrouded themselves in hints of real-world implications and events.
Better or for worse.
For better or for worse.
Which is an extremely long-running Saturday cartoon on newspapers.
Sunday cartoon, but yeah. He's basically told, yeah, I'm only going to tell you the truth. Because you're about to die, don't worry, we'll give you a posthumous promotion by 2 ranks. And I'll go to your funeral.
Yeah, honor all around. So he decides to screw over his own company because, seriously, screw them.
Lifetime of loyalty, they just say, sorry, you got to die now. Bad luck. And so he joins the pirates after helping them deal with the closest we've had to a real villain. Well, okay, I guess that's untrue. The head of the company is the real villain of the show.
Yeah.
But he's the only villain they've fought of any note. The guy in the helicopter
His name is Kenpachi.
Kenpachi is the only one who they've actually fought who's worth mentioning at all.
Sadly, he dies in the second episode because they play trick. Sadly, he dies in the second episode because they play chicken with the train, or in this case, a helicopter and a boat.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about what happens in that scene. It is just pure action movie ridiculousness. Like, I was trying to figure out what they were doing, and I had an idea, and I thought, man, that's pretty stupid. But they out-stupided me.
But thankfully, he was reborn within the Soul Society and just completely kicked everyone's butts and became the best captain ever.
Fan fiction. We seem to be indulging a lot of that lately.
It's not fan fiction, it's fact. You saw him.
So, second episode ends with him escaping and him joining up with the Black Lagoons. And you also get some hints about the evil executive's home life, where he barely functions in his home life. Like, he just goes home and says, his wife's like, oh, hey, honey. Stocks. Need to look at my stocks.
It's kind of pathetic, really.
Yeah. Anywho, then we get the third episode. Now, I want to stop right here and say that I would love to see someone in Hollywood buy the rights to this show and turn the first 2 episodes with a bit more expansion into a movie.
Be interesting. Follow-up would need to be better than the third episode, though, because we're back to disappointing third episodes.
Yeah, we haven't had the third episode curse rear its head for a while. We've had shows where the third episode was the worst of the bunch, but we haven't had one where you feel like you're flying high and then it just sort of falls on its face.
Yeah, the first 2 episodes were interconnected and they had good flow. They did stuff well. We'll talk more about that later. Third one just sort of condensed both of those into 1 episode and took its time about it.
It felt a lot like a setup episode where it was like, you learn little hints about the characters and the world setting, but you get the impression that it isn't going to matter until later.
As is the norm with these shows.
And there is a completely... And the basic action scene, like, the action is, in theory, cool enough, but remember how I mentioned that we didn't even know who the pirates were Rock was supposed to be delivering it to?
Boner!
How we didn't know who he was supposed to be delivering it to. He just... It's like that, except that we don't know anything about what's going on. We know that the Black Lagoons are on a mission. We know that there's backstabbing going on of some sort. And that's it. Like, we don't know what they're delivering or what they're picking up or what they're destroying.
Yeah, it's not very well described. It's...
I might be able to piece it together, but...
Yeah.
I mean, I just watched it 2 hours ago. And at the time, I was confused. And as I think about it now, I'm still confused.
Well, you're a very easily confused man.
Who said that?
I hate you and everything you stand for. Okay, then. Really, that's about it for the story, because the rest of the story is bullets and...
Short pants.
Friday the 13th flashbacks.
Oh. Yeah, we've been watching those, too. I don't think we're going to do proper reviews of them, but...
Oh, we might do it on the 6th, the movie.
Yeah.
Anyway. Why do the men wear less than the women?
Ah, Joel, I hate movies where the men's skirts are shorter than the women's.
Anyways!
Point three.
Characters.
The one who goes through the most growth and development is Rock.
Because he's constantly confused by his mini boners.
Yes. He basically starts off as a dutiful salaryman and ends up as a... Well, honestly, he's a very awkward pirate.
He's very cunning. He knows what he's doing. He's... Yeah, he's... Yeah.
He's smart and cunning, but he doesn't seem to be quite comfortable with the whole law-breaking thing yet.
Not says much. The taking lives part of it.
Right. He's great for strategizing. Like, put him in a corner and give him a minute to think, and he'll come up with an insane plan that'll work.
Somehow, despite all logic and gravity.
Yep. But if you ask him to be the one to announce to the ship that you're boarding them...
He will be the most polite, understated soul in the world.
Hello! It might be best if you were just rented the ship to us.
Really might want to stop. Please? Stop! Please?
That sums it up pretty well. He's just sick of life screwing him over. So he decided, okay, these pirates are nice. They seem to grudgingly accept me. I'll join up.
And then he gets forced to wear an ugly Hawaiian shirt off screen.
That's actually the one part of the plot in episodes 1 and 2 that carries on to episode 3. That Hawaiian shirt. We never actually get to see the Hawaiian shirt, but it's mentioned a lot by...
Violent McBoobs!
A.K.A. I can't remember her real name off the top of my head.
Revy.
Revy, that's it. With regards to this show, I think I've seen a lot of references to Revy. I want to say that she was on Professor Otaku's anime crushes list or something, or hottest women list. I can't remember which.
I have not seen any of those, so I wouldn't really know.
Yeah, it's been a year or so since I saw those, though.
She's an interesting character. Depending on what one you see of her, she's either very understated but cursing all the time, or she's shouting her head off, constantly angry and spewing profanities all the time, while shooting guns.
Are you talking about the difference between sub and dub that I described?
Yeah.
Ah. Yeah, we'll talk about that a bit more under point 4, but it does sort of change your view of the character.
Honestly, I really liked her character, if only because she tended to draw your attention back to the show at the slower parts.
Plus, she is sort of... I'm trying to think of an analogy. She's almost the magical girlfriend of this show, only if you mentioned the word girlfriend around her, she would probably shoot off your private parts.
Yeah, you know... It kind of reminds me of that show I never actually saw, but I know of. What was it, Chuck or something?
Oh, yeah, I know. I've seen Chuck. She's kind of like the love interest from Chuck in the early seasons.
I've never seen it, so...
Only she was never quite so relentlessly homicidal.
It's kind of a weird little subgenre of romance stories, but... I enjoy it, where the main character, the guy, usually, is pretty quiet and nice and just a nice guy, if not vaguely homicidal himself. And then the girlfriend is loud and overbearing and gets him into a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that Chuck quite fits that, but this was definitely an enjoyable dynamic between the two of them.
Yeah. Also, yeah, the two are love interests. It's just...
Nothing has really been said yet, but it's clear that she's, like, opening herself up to him in her own sort of weird antisocial way. Like, you don't necessarily get the impression that the other crewmates have necessarily been told what she's told him so far.
I bet they have, but it's only because they're so close.
Okay, like with Dutch, who we'll talk about next, I'm pretty sure that he knows this, but with Benny, the tech guy... It would not surprise me if they've never had that conversation.
It surprised me a little bit, but that's getting away from... Honestly, her character is just big cussing ball of violence.
And it's well done.
Yeah, it's very well done.
The good part of the third episode was that it sort of hinted a bit at her past,
Like, she's superhumanly good at violence.
Has been all her life, apparently.
It's been hinted that something was done to her, something happened to her to make her this way. So, that's sort of a good hook to keep wanting to watch.
That or it's going to be entirely mundane and thus vaguely disappointing.
Which is certainly possible.
Yes. We will have to see! But first, Duke!
A.K.A. Dutch. Big black guy, he's the leader of the group.
Name is Duke, or Dutch.
Depending on whether you go with Burke's insane version or the version from the show.
Hey, either way, he's black Arnold Schwarzenegger, so I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, he's just sort of the leader guy. I don't think that there was some sort of hints at skullduggery in episode 3. Like, things that the rest of the team doesn't know that he does. But he's the tough leader guy.
Yeah. If they're going to go any further into it, it's not going to be in the first 3 episodes.
Yeah. I guess he's there in the first 3 episodes to be the leader guy and to keep Revy on something of a leash.
He's basically her barrel. He points, she shoots.
Yeah. Then there's... Is his name actually Benny?
Yeah.
Okay. Benny, the tech guy.
Or Mullet Man!
Yeah, blonde guy with a mullet. Was going to school in Florida. He's apparently a tech genius.
He's the information guy.
Yeah, he's there to make the secure connections and watch the radar screen, which is an important job.
Yeah, doesn't really get to do much in the first 3 episodes.
Yeah, he hasn't really revealed himself much yet.
Yeah, he's just sort of been over there behind the curtain.
Yep. Then finally, and I forget his actual name, I think the last
Scarface?
I wouldn't even consider Scarface worth mentioning at this point. Like,
I'll sum it up right quick. Scarface is their boss. She has ties into everything and always wins. And yeah. She is scarred.
Yeah, and she's Russian. Did you mention she was Russian? You cut out for a second.
No, I did not. She's blonde, busty, and scarred.
Yep. But they aren't attractive scars, which is rare for an anime.
I don't really know what attractive scars are.
Okay, like, they are scars they are scars severe enough to be legitimate blemishes rather than just being a thin red line on the cheek or something.
So she's not Kenshiro.
Right.
Well, then.
Now, you're thinking of Kenshin, not Kenshiro. Kenshin from Rurouni Kenshin.
Yes, Kenshin.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that type of minimalistic scarring.
Yeah, these you actually do notice. It's hard not to notice them. Though I don't think they subtract from her looks all that much.
Right, just she's disfigured.
Yeah, a little bit. But!
So, we don't know much about her yet. And I almost get the impression that this is the sort of show where you don't necessarily need to know a lot about her. You just need to know that she's the source of jobs.
Yeah, probably. And may or may not be sleeping with Duke.
I didn't get that vibe, honestly.
Oh, no, I didn't either, but I wouldn't be surprised if it happened.
The last character really worth mentioning is the boss of Rock's old corporation.
Who is a giant douchebag.
Like, okay, apparently, though, it wasn't his idea to help the North Koreans develop nuclear weapons. He's just been handed this ball from the higher-ups, and he's trying to figure out how to make it go away. But he did sort of tell Rock, yeah, you're going to die, but we're going to give you... But at least he tried to do a promotion. You get the impression of a guy who has something of a code.
Yeah.
Like, he did want to reward the loyalty, even if he had to sacrifice that particular pawn.
He reminds me a little bit of the Kingpin from Marvel.
Yeah, that's a fair analysis, although I think this guy is actually slightly more compassionate than the Kingpin. Which is probably funny, considering that, you know, he helped North Korea get the bomb, but... Allegedly, yeah. North Korea. It's got to be like a veiled reference to North Korea.
More or less. Should be, anyways. But!
And again, when he gets home, he has 3 kids and a wife. He barely talks to them. Like, he is all business all the time. His daughter says, Daddy, Daddy, what did the ocean look like when you were that far south? And he says, I don't know, I was busy working.
Makes me wonder how he had 3... Oh, I just realized what happened. His wife had several adulterous affairs, and he hasn't realized it yet.
In the vain attempt to make him pay attention to her?
Yes, and he hasn't realized it yet. One day, He's going to look up from his data pad and notice he has three kids and wonder what the hell.
I thought they belonged to the servants.
We don't have any servants, dear.
We don't? Then who are those men who... Oh.
The milkmen. Okay.
Good stock, that one. Speaking of stocks, where's my newspaper? I need to check them.
Oh, God, I hate you. I hate you so much that we're going to presentation!
Right, which is where we talk about the stuff that isn't animation, or, excuse me. Yeah, right, which is where we talk about the stuff
no,
that isn't
we're keeping
related.
That one. We're keeping that one.
Yeah. I had to get up at 6 o'clock for work today, folks. You're lucky I'm functioning enough to talk at all.
You're not functioning at all.
First thing I want to notice is the music. The opening theme is interesting in that it goes, okay, like there's a point where you pass...
It's very violent.
English. First off, like Berger said, it's violent. Like, insanely violent.
The entire show is violent in one way or another.
It threatens violence against the person being sung to in numerous ways.
Honestly, I think it's Revy's love song, The Boner.
That would make so much sense considering the opening animation is all about her. And amusingly, yeah. There are points where she shoots the gun, and when she pulls the trigger, a big black sensor bar goes over the gun. Like, they are really playing up the whole gun phallic imagery thing there.
Yep. Not in the actual show, though.
Yeah. It's like the opening theme is the tarted-up exploitation version of the show.
Speaking of which, animation!
Wait, one last thing about music. Then there's the end theme. I refuse to actually call it an end theme, but that's all I can think of to introduce it as.
It's there.
Because it's more or less like... It sounds like background music, honestly. Like, there are no words, and it just sounds like it's background music for a particularly somber scene, and just keeps looping.
Someone got very, very lazy.
They couldn't afford to get a band to do an end theme, so they just came up with that.
Yeah.
Animation.
It's pretty good, honestly.
Yeah, the only thing I noticed was, like, a little bit of animation reuse in a scene in a mangrove swamp, where they showed the exact same shot of coconut crabs and various butterflies to establish two different scenes, but other than that, I didn't really notice anything.
Well, the thing of it is, the pacing of it, which is another aspect we should talk about, I guess we're talking about it right now anyways, the pacing of it really lends itself well to this show, because it's a lot of build-up and a lot of characters talking, but the characters are really dynamic, and they're all yelling, usually, or something else, and whatever little action, like someone shooting a gun, happens there, it's little enough that it wouldn't really affect the budget at all, so that they can save it all up for one good action scene per episode, at least so far. And the action scenes tend to be pretty brief, but very enjoyable.
Yeah, like in a bad show, you look up at the timer, 10 minutes, it felt like 20. In this show, you look at the timer like, 20 minutes? Huh. I thought there'd be a lot more show than this. Man, that went by fast in an enjoyable way. Until the third episode, when it's like, and I hope that they regain the flow from the first two episodes, because that was really good action movie-ish flow.
Yeah.
Where you had just enough characterization to care about the events going on, even if you didn't have all the details.
Yeah. And that really helps with the animation, because the animation's very, not exactly simple, but it's stable. It flows well enough, and it mostly sort of lingers on until it gets to the action scenes, which is where it shines. That or just showing off Revy's body.
They love to show off Revy's body. The character designs are kind of like Coyote Ragtime Show, or not Hikage at all. They're like, it's like Coyote Ragtime Show, where they're not exactly photorealistic, but they're a lot more detailed than what I think of as the default anime style from the 80s and 90s because of what I grew up with.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't just where the eyes are two half circles and the mouth is a different half circle.
Yeah. I actually wanted to comment that Revy's eyes are actually fairly well animated. They've got this good shape to them.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting design. So far, most of the women we've seen have been fan service built. While the men tend to either be larger, hunking, hulking, muscle people, or shapeless, themes like the main character.
Yeah, I was about to say, guess what rock is? Although, interestingly, like you said that the women tend to be fan servicey. I did notice that they had a couple of, like, I don't know if they were supposed to be old prostitutes or what. In the city where they hang out in the third episode.
Yeah. They were first shown in the second episode.
Okay. They did look like they were in their 40s or so. So it's not like most anime where women go off to a retreat between the ages of 30 and 70.
Yeah. These are all pretty realistic looking women. Revy looks to be in her 20s. Right. Russian woman looks to be in her 40s, but, you know, good looking 40s. Maybe even 50s, depending on how well she's aged.
Right, we haven't really seen her, except in shadow so far, so...
No, she showed up in the daytime, once or twice.
Did she? Okay. That's right, the scene at the end where the interesting thing happened.
Yeah, and earlier in the second episode, too.
Right, but okay. You're right.
I have a better recollection from days ago. Russian women. Anyways, but yes... The animation style is fairly well done. More attention, I think, is given to the women than the men. But, most of the fan service quality of it just comes from what they're wearing. It's not that they're unrealistically made. Because Revy basically wears hot pants, or hot shorts, you know, short shorts, and a tank top.
And she never, she's never dressed for appropriate company, but we've seen much more ridiculous on this show.
Oh, God, yes.
As far as how she was built and the emphasis, and where they're putting the emphasis.
Coyote Ragtime Show, anyone?
Yeah, speaking of. So overall, I'd say that this show ranks in the top echelon of the animation we've seen.
Yeah. It may or may not have had a large budget, but it knows how to use that budget well.
Even the CGI, except for those butterflies I mentioned, which I only noticed were CGI because they weren't moving quite right.
Yeah.
But the CGI vehicles all work well.
Yeah. Let's see here. Right then, subbing versus dubbing. Japanese versus English. I watched the dub.
I watched a bit of both.
You watched mostly Japanese.
My take on it is that I kind of found myself preferring the sub. This is one of those shows where I think it's hard to translate tough language across language barriers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've noticed that, like, with most anime dubs where characters are trying to act tough and threaten each other and stuff, it never quite seems to fit right. I don't know why.
Different intentions, different inflections, different kind of words.
Right. Or in this case, I think that they were a lot of the time translating it pretty literally, and so it didn't necessarily flow as well. And this show has a lot of that type of tough guy talk. Aside from that, I'd say they're both about equal quality. Like Burke hinted at before, they sort of gave Revy slightly different characters. Like, the English one is much more angry-sounding all the time, where while Revy is angry-sounding, it's dialed back a few notches.
Yeah, she's not over the top. She's more simmering until something big happens.
Right. Or until something pisses her off.
Yeah, the one odd thing, one second.
Oh, yeah, and the reason we had to watch this piratey-ish is because, like Black Heaven, this was from Genion, who is now defunct.
Genion!
There you see, Genion. You shouldn't have dubbed so many shows with the name Black in the title. It's the kiss of death, I tell you.
What I was trying to say before I trailed off, was Revy's voice actress in the first episode was a little bit odd. She seemed to go for a kind of southern accent, which she dropped after a while.
Yeah, see, I only saw, like, typically we don't watch the episodes more than once unless, like, one of us is really confused about something that happened.
Ben.
Yeah, I mostly do that. I don't know if you've ever done it, but I've done it a couple times. The first episode subbed, second episode dubbed, and then the third I saw a little bit of subbed and dubbed because of crashes. So when Burke says, yeah, she tried a southern accent at first, she dropped it by episode 2, because I have no idea what the heck he's talking about.
It wasn't even throughout the entire episode. It was just like, at random bursts, she'd have a southern accent. Just random sentences. She'd be southern. And it was very weird.
Yeah, it...
All in the first episode.
It's weird.
But outside of that little bit of weirdness, honestly, I like both dub jobs.
Yep.
Music was good.
Aside from that ending theme, and even then you can just skip that. All yep. you're seeing is, I forget, was it a shot of Revy's ankles or her butt?
You assume I ever even watched the ending theme.
Let me put it this way. The animation didn't change for the first minute, so if you remember 10 seconds of it...
You assume I watched any of the ending theme.
Okay, then. Yeah, this is a pretty competently put together show, on all levels.
Yeah.
Well done, I would even say.
Which brings us to...
Final thoughts.
You first.
Okay, if the third episode had kept the same quality as the first two, I would be saying right now, yeah, definitely, full steam ahead, you should buy this. As it is, this might be one worthy of a follow-up at some point, but
yeah.
I would say... See if you can find the episodes online, watch them, and then make your decision. Because, who knows, maybe we're just weird, because we've had weird, aberrant opinions before about stuff.
We haven't. All of our opinions are perfect!
Anyway, it could just be us that who think that episode 3 sucks. Try it out for yourselves. But on the strength of the first two episodes, I said this one is definitely worth a watch. It was entertaining as heck. Maybe not as quite as smart as it thinks it is. Like, I think that might be the issue with the third episode, is that it's like the writers stopped saying to themselves, yeah, we're having fun. There's some tragedy and geopolitical stuff here, but this show is about gunplay and vehicle fights. And they decided to try and ramp up the smartness slightly to their detriment.
Yeah, they tried to be better writers, and that just didn't work out at all.
At least not with what they'd set up so far. Because I was expecting more action. I got Revy complaining about the fruit that Rock bought. And why didn't you wear the Hawaiian shirt I got you?
Yeah, I'm still confused about that.
Maybe the Hawaiian shirt actually makes an appearance at some point. Honestly, I have more anticipation for that than for the final villain.
I don't think there is going to be a final villain. I think the movie's just going to meander along until it comes to an abrupt end, and then all is done.
Yeah, possibly. I think they're probably going to revisit the stuff with Rock's old boss just because they bothered to establish his home life. You don't do that for a villain you don't intend to use. Again.
Usually not. You never know, though. Okay. My final thoughts! Find it online. Try it out. If you like it, get it. It's good. Buy it from our thing if you want to. It's pretty good.
It supports us.
It has its flaws. It could be better in places. But it could be worse, honestly.
For what it's trying to be, it does it be very good.
Words don't work that way. No.
Yes, thank you for explaining my bad... intentional bad grammar. No, Burke, you've driven that into the ground now. So anyway, I'm not sure what we're doing next week. We have it set up, but off the top of my head, I don't know. It'll just be a surprise. I hope everyone's enjoyed Paint It Black Month. I know I have, aside from Black Scorpion. And now Burke's reduced to making strange noises, so good night and good luck, everyone.